Intro, episode number 426. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me here in a steaming hot Las Vegas. We have gotten to summer. The winter dragged out far too long for my personal taste, and now we just go straight to 100 degrees. That's how we do it here in Las Vegas, which, how's that making you feel today as you kind of nurse a little bit of a
hangover? I didn't realize it was that warm outside because I haven't stepped outside. I looked outside. I saw it was sunny, but I haven't even looked. Normally, I would get out this morning and walk, but yeah, I woke up today and had a bit of a hangover.
I love it. I love it. The dark side is bringing you back in. Normally, I come over here on a Wednesday afternoon to sit down and talk a little bit of mixed martial arts.
I'm just like brimming with energy.
Bro, I got up and I went to the gym at like 3:30 a.m. I ran a marathon, and then by 6 a.m. I was lifting weights out in my garage.
Yeah, this morning at 4 a.m. I did wake up, but it was to take ibuprofen, and I realized I had passed out on the couch. And then I went upstairs, went to bed, and then promptly went back to sleep.
Just when you thought you were out, they drug you back in.
Tequila, and Miller Lite will do that. I wish they used to have a PBR on the whatever draft, but I guess they didn't go there enough, so they didn't keep it on the thing. Because I had been lobbying for it forever, but I guess a lot of people weren't really into it, which is just absolutely insane to me. So they put Miller Lite was already on there.
So you were solely responsible for getting PBR on draft in your bar, and because you stopped going there, they let it go. Your consumption level is incredible. The fact they put it on tap for you, and then it was not being consumed enough that they took it off.
You know, I think it was probably because they were probably just the squeaky wheel. Because every time I went there, I was like, wait, we want to try new beers. I was always like PBR. And they're like, well, you know, there's different import. I was like, can you get PBR? And then,
have you seen the latest sour craft beer?
Yeah, I do like a good sour beer. I would rather take some PBR. And then, when I moved to the south side of town, it's just like a 25-minute drive.
Right.
You know, and of course, we don't advocate the driving and drinking of frosty beverages.
You just didn't want to be in an Uber that long on the way home.
I just didn't want to be in an Uber that long, you know? Ubers are really expensive right now.
Yes, you're right. You should not be imbibing and then getting behind the wheel. But if you're going to, do it less than 25 minutes.
Yes, less than 25 minutes, for sure. And not a lot of turns. You know, maybe a straight shot, maybe a left.
Straight down rainbow.
Yeah, it's funny. When I used to go there, when I lived down Sahara, it was downhill towards like the 15. Mm-hmm. I always used to joke that I'd be like, I could just coast
just
down
put in
to
neutral
the 15,
and roll.
Just roll and just hope for the lights to work out.
Wow.
But yeah, so I went there. Unfortunately, it was a celebration of life. Like the guy that used to be a president of the Browns backers in town passed away. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of the old Browns people and people from Ohio and stuff all got together. And then next thing you know, tequila shots. The Golden Knights game was on. So then it was tequila shots. And then it was. There's this funny thing that the ladies sometimes do, the bartenders there. They take these matches, they fashion them around their nipples, and they light them on fire. So put that with tequila, and then...
This is just a regular bar, by the way.
It's just
a regular
bar.
A strip club.
And it wasn't even like it was enclosed like behind doors. Like they're literally sitting at the bar next to me, so anybody at the other side could see it. So they
take a match.
Take like a little match. Imagine like they're just not like a stick match, but like the ones that are like that pliable sort of cardboardy
sort of thing. Yeah, like in the packets.
Yeah,
or
in the packets, and then you could split the end of it so that it sort of wise out at the end, and then you lick that end, and then it sticks, and then you just pinch it onto the nipples, and it sticks. And then they light it, and then they just shake, and then you just like usually if you're around there, near there, you just kind of cheer them on, and then. If they're drunk, they do it again, you know. So.
Oh, my goodness. How did that tradition start?
The crazy bartenders just trying to do whatever. They used to do it for birthdays and stuff, too. Like, if it was your birthday, they'd be like, and they'd light it, and they'd let you blow it out or whatever. It's fucking Vegas, man. Like, I don't remember that being a Midwest thing.
That is amazing.
But, so that
just
popped
hanging out at the friendly neighborhood bar, lighting nipples on fire.
It was something. But, yeah, then tequila. So, yeah, and then this morning happened, and then I was just like, So, yeah, back to the weather. I had no idea how warm it was outside.
It's getting to 100 degrees already. Yeah, man, you gotta get outside. It's warm. But, by the way, Vegas Golden Knights, not that I will pretend to sit here and be the biggest hockey fan. I couldn't name a couple of players on there.
Yeah.
But, Vegas is our local team. They came here when we lived here, so, like, we've seen them since the inception. Obviously, Depending on how deep you want to go down the rabbit hole. I mean, their inaugural season happened during a very dark time during the city, and so people kind of rallied around them and what they embodied and all those things. But it's been our franchise, and it's been interesting for me because they're playing the Dallas Stars, right, which obviously born and raised in Dallas, still have my family in Dallas. I still cheer for, like, the Cowboys and consider myself, like, a Dallas sports fan. So this was kind of a weird position because, to be honest with you, as the series started, one of my best friends actually texted me. He's like, so who are you going to cheer for? And I'm like, I think Vegas. Like, I've been here long enough. Yeah. I've been here, you know, 15 years now. And I actually saw this team, the inception of it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I still feel weird about the Raiders. Like, I feel like we took somebody else's team. Yeah. And so I feel weird kind of adopting them as our own. But this team I'm cheering for. And, I do like the sport of hockey. I'm not a big hockey fan. I don't have much time to watch anything outside of MMA and combat sports, if I'm being honest. But it is a fun game, especially live. It's really fast. And it's, you know, what those guys can do on skates is incredible. But anyway, good series. Excited. Looks like prime to go to, prime to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. It looks like it's 3-0. But, boy, that game last night, man, after two incredible, tense overtime matches, games in the first two games here in Vegas. I mean, I don't understand what the captain of the Stars did there. And I've seen his statement today. If you guys didn't see this game, and I'm sure –
I didn't read what his statement, but he lost his fucking mind.
He lost his mind. So I'm sure most people have probably seen it, even if you're not a hockey fan. I mean, this is a pretty big story. I mean, they had to end the second period early because people were throwing trash on them. Yeah. Crazy. But, so he hits a check. And then he checks the guy to the ground. Okay, it's playoff hockey. Your checks are going to happen. But as the opponent's on the ground, he basically cross-checks the head on the ground. His statement today was like, I need to control my stick better. He's like, it's unfortunate that I fell over and used my stick to brace myself. And it was like, bro, and I'm not even a hater. Like, I'm from Dallas. I love Dallas.
He's trying to stick to that line.
Yeah, but, like, dude, especially as the captain of the team, I think you got to come out and be like, guys.
That's because he's going to get a huge fine from that, I imagine.
Huge fine. Yeah, I imagine they're not going to let him play tomorrow night in game 4.
It's bad. I mean, like, I guarantee somebody was like, we need to try to get ahead of this. Say that you fell or whatever. But it's like, bro, he dived into him.
He cross-checked the dude on the ground to his head.
Arm. Yeah, it was really bad.
My wife and I, we were watching it actually. We had it on the phone on the way taking my kid to jiu-jitsu, and we were kind of talking about it in the car or whatever. And she's like, what do you think is going to happen? And I'm like, in my mind, especially the captain of the team, like, you just got to own up to that and be like, guys, I made a horrible decision. Like, I lost my temper. You know, I just lost control of myself. I apologize. I know I let the team down. Hell, the team had to issue a statement. The president of the team issued a statement, like, apologizing to the city for the way the fans behaved and all that. I thought he would do that. Instead, he's kind of doubling down, just be like, that's a damn shame. I fell over and just happened to land on his head, man. And again, this is coming from somebody that is a Dallas supporter. If I was not cheering for the Golden Knights, I'd be cheering for the Stars. But, dude, that's poor form, man.
It was bad. I mean, I get he was very frustrated. But, yeah, I mean, now it sounds even extra just stupid for him to try to, like, do whatever. But, I mean, it was bad. It's probably one of the worst ones I've seen in a while where it's like there could have been some real harm. I mean, if he would have really connected against the guy's neck with that downward pressure, I mean, he could have crushed the dude's neck. I mean, he could have did some real bad.
No justification for it whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, so it'd be interesting. I mean, in terms of if the NHL really wants to look into it, I don't know how they've treated some of those things. I think it's in his favor that there wasn't a serious injury. Mm. You know, if Stone was injured or had to get carted off or something happened, I guarantee there'd be
the outrage would be
huge. I mean, it could be maybe career ending possibilities. You never kind of know. I mean, but
it's crazy, man. So that was what, like a minute and a half into the game. They
it
got
was
a five
so early
they
on.
Got a 5 minute major. They end up getting two more goals. So after like 6 minutes, they're up 3-0. The captain has been thrown out of the game. Yeah. They have no. It was funny. I mean, I know this probably isn't how you should think about it, but I was sitting there thinking, man, can you imagine the fans that probably spent like a ton of money to get into that game, and essentially it's over in 6 minutes? You're like, what am I doing?
Yeah, a lot of them left early, too. Oh, which
I saw
it.
Seats were empty towards the end of the game.
They paid a lot of money for those seats. They were so upset that they just left early. And there was even another fight that sort of a guy that got pinned. I can't remember what his name was, but it might have been against Stone as well.
10-minute misconduct for that one.
He punched him, then he comes back and did it, and I was like, he was a smaller guy too. I was like, man, look at him go. But like, because the guy took a took the punch and then just kind of like was like, huh? Like, what the heck? You know, so that, I don't know.
Crazy.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I'm with you, man. I had the Blue Jackets back home when the Columbus Blue Jackets came. So, I mean, I was always into – I liked hockey, but, I mean, competing against Ohio State sports and, like, the NFL and NBA was always kind of – it was always that other team, you know?
Right.
But out here in the desert, man, everybody absolutely loves them. And I think you're right, man, having them come up from nothing out here – you know, everybody's just fully embracing them. But then you're seeing shit like this. This is like, what, their sixth season and or something along those lines, and they've been in like
four conference finals, I believe.
It's just unreal, man. Like, the team they've fielded together is just fantastic. Or there's just something about the support, you know. They've been doing it, man. But, yeah, I mean, if it keeps going like it is, yeah, they're going to be in the final again, and maybe we'll have a better possibility. But it would be pretty fucking stellar, I think, to be able to get – the Stanley Cup in like your first within 10 years of your
yeah,
first,
that'd be crazy.
That's huge.
Be amazing.
And it's huge. So I don't want to jinx it or whatever, but I mean, if anything else, we're just enjoying the ride, man. But it was fun.
Fun for us Vegas sports fans to see it.
It
is cool.
Fun.
Community has embraced it.
Well, and that's why I got drunk last night. That was the start of it.
He's like, well, let's do it. Yeah. By the way, I'm just going to put on that game started at 5 p.m. Well, I guess 5 is an acceptable time to start.
It's socially acceptable. Like, work was done. Work was done, you know?
All right, it is a rare off week for the UFC. I'm going to go ahead and give an early plug, though. Saturday night, if you're looking for something to watch, if you're missing some combat sports this weekend, we do have Fury Professional Grappling 7, which will be on UFC Fight Pass, myself and CM Punk on the call. We had some shuffles happen late here to our card, but I still like it a lot. Originally, it was supposed to be Joe Pyfer versus reigning CFSC welterweight champ Charlie Racky. Racky had to withdraw, but Gerald Meerschaert stepped in. So we got GM3 against Joe Pyfer in the main event. Andre Petroski is back against Rene Sosa in the co-main event. Andrew Cockle is in there. He had to have a replacement as well. Unfortunately, Jose Perez, our interim featherweight champ, who has phenomenal jiu-jitsu. I was really excited about it. He was supposed to be in there. But instead, he had to withdraw. And Bill Algeo is in. So another CFSC vet, a UFC fighter, a character, a guy that, you know, will have some fun on the mic and will have some fun entertainment-wise. That one, Algeo versus Andrew Cockle, if you haven't seen the Fury Professional Grapplings, that'll be a lot of fun. Andrew Cockle is just an exciting guy. He makes it fun. And then, much to my surprise, out of nowhere, the president is back. Brad Bolton is back again against Ben Davis, Ben the Bane on Twitter. Who,
are you really?
Yes, he calls out. He said, he called out Brad and was like, I want to grapple you on the card. And Brad hit him back on Twitter and was like, send me your full legal name, your date of birth, and your preferred airport, and I'll buy the ticket right now. And he did.
Wow. Does he have grappling experience?
He spent some time training with, you know, he's gone up to Glory MMA a couple times. He's got some friends in that camp. He's done that. I know Billy Quarantillo. He spent some time rolling with him at the PI. But I think most
Glory
of his
– Glory Hole MMA?
Wow.
Just kidding.
Wow.
Just
Glory
kidding.
MMA. But I think the majority of his time is really spent striking. I know he does train, but I think he really strikes more than anything. But he's jumping in there against the black belt in Brad Bolton. So,
is Bolton the black belt?
Yeah, Bolton.
Oh, fuck. Well, get on Ben, man. He's doing it.
Well, I think the over under is like 30 seconds, maybe. Or I don't know. We'll see.
He can make it 30 seconds.
He's been posted on Twitter. He just wants to last a minute.
Yeah, because I mean, you figure it'll take 30 seconds to really he could dance around a little bit, engage before you start getting stall calls or some shit.
So I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if maybe he was watching.
Just imagine him.
I don't know if he
around.
Was watching the Vegas Golden Knights and maybe had a few couple cocktails when he made that when he issued that challenge. But he issued the challenge and Brad Bolton said, "Let's go." So,
you know, what's that other one that I always try to get Oscar on? Fight Circus.
Fight Circus.
That sort of just started making me think about Fight Circus. Dude, just calling out people and they're like, "Hey, we can make it happen.
I love Fight Circus. They're like, "Bro, we can do that. What do you want to do?"
You're like, midgets? Okay, yeah. How many? Okay, yeah, 3? Okay, yeah, we can do that.
Oh, man. Yep. So
you want to put 2 guys in 1 shirt and have them fight?
We can do that. I love Fight Circus, man. They're crazy. All right, listen. So that'll be Saturday night if you want to tune in. No UFC, but, man, I guess the predominant story that continues to you know, loom over the landscape is Francis Ngannou and his signing with the PFL, and people continue to kind of break it down.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious what your take is, because – you know, I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday. This is somebody that's outside of the MMA world, but just kind of an MMA fan, but kind of an astute businessman. So he was talking about from the business perspective, and we were kind of debating the merits of it, and he was kind of thinking – you know, that he really doesn't like this for Francis Ngannou and is concerned that maybe, you know, everything won't come to fruition and, you know, maybe the fights that he's promised won't necessarily happen. Maybe the boxing match isn't guaranteed. It doesn't happen. You know, maybe the PFL Africa doesn't turn out to be as big as it, as they potentially want it to be. Because I was saying, man, I think Francis hit a home run with this. Now, I'm still really scared that the PFL is going to have a hard time making this profitable. But I also believe that they're not really trying to make it profitable. I think that they're trying to just stir things up a little bit, get themselves attention. And there's no bigger attention grab than this. So I think they're like, well, if we lose some money on it, that's okay because we're getting headlines and we're showing that there is an alternative out there. And I think they're okay with that. But I don't know. It was kind of the debate that, man, what if some of this stuff really doesn't come to fruition for Francis? I don't know. I still feel like it's a win for him because I feel like he wanted the opportunity to have the freedom and the opportunity to chase this. So I think even if it doesn't come to fruition, I think he'll still feel like he won because he got to go chase these things that he wanted to do.
Right.
But I don't know. It's just, I'm kind of curious what you think because it seems like I am seeing more people come out. And you know, these are – look, I know some people some people love Dana in the UFC. Some people hate Dana in the UFC. But, I mean, the people that I'm talking – I'm seeing people that are just kind of looking at it from a non-biased perspective, and some of them are offering some doubts of, like, how is this thing going to all play out?
Well, I mean, I think that's it. I mean, like, he was able to win his freedom. He was able to win the possibility for these other things. But there is no – there's nothing set up. Mm. There's no guarantees of anything at this point. They want to make him the chairman of this PFL Africa, which doesn't exist. You know, it's – but at least he has the freedom, and now it's kind of on Francis to make these things actually become something. You know, if he wants to really push towards PFL Africa and actually make it into something, he now has that potential to do it. And the PFL's like, hey, we'll be your partner in doing it. You're the chairman. You gotta lead the way. You gotta start this whole process. Same thing with like these super fights. They're like, okay, you want to have super fights? Cool. What is a super fight?
Right.
Who are these people? You know, if he can't get these super fights that they're trying to do, I mean, there's always the potential of them saying, well, we can give you something. We can give you a different fight contract that maybe doesn't qualify as these super fights.
Right.
But then there's a lot of risk in taking that fight because you take a fight and say you lose. You know, like, who is it? I think that was saying Ante Delija or whatever would be a good candidate. He's also one hell of a tough dude. Like, that's definitely a fight that he could lose, you know? So I think the potential is there to do these things, but what's crazy is like they're all just ideas right now on paper. There's ideas to say that this is what's going to happen, but they need to have the right dance partner. There's no set date for these super fights to happen. There's no set opponent for these super fights to happen. Like, what the hell is a super fight? Is that only something outside of the organization now that they could bring somebody in to make these crazy fights? But they don't want to have him fight anybody else because maybe he's like, well, I can't get the money to do whatever, and it's a lot of risk. But, I mean, I think the potential's there to do things, but there's just nothing set. So what did he it's easy to say, okay, yeah, well, he got his contracts that he wanted, got whatever. I'm not sure if that's ensuring any sort of money. Is money transacting?
Right.
Is anything actually exchanging? Is he able to put any of this ideas in the bank?
It's interesting, right? So it's,
you know, he's able to do sponsorships and other kind of stuff. So I think that clears up the opening to where he can get money that's coming into the bank right now. But is any money coming from the PFL right now? Are they paying him to be this chairman if this thing really even sort of is existing? Or is it just the idea to go? So I'm not even sure right now what all the PFL is only, in my mind, and that doesn't mean something hasn't – they've just agreed to the idea.
Right.
I don't know if they've actually shelled out a dollar. You know, I'm sure they shelled out some money to go do the promotion that they did, flying to Africa to sign the paperwork and do all that shit. They put definitely some dollar value into actual promotion and the signing of it. Heard they had rented two different Bentleys or whatever cars, because at first they were going to rent one car, but then it was too small for them. So then they had different options of like Bentleys that they were using or whatever other little things. So they put all this crazy stuff. So I'm happy for him. I'm interested to see what happens to it. I just don't know what it entails because right now it's just a lot of open-ended, I don't want to say promises because they went further on to actually say, okay, we'll put this in writing. This is what's going to happen. But I just don't see any sort of definitive anything going in any particular direction. Like, does that mean PFL Africa goes first?
Right.
Do we try to do boxing first because you have the potential? I don't know where his head's at. I know he has a team that's trying to help shape and pick the right path to do, and he has that freedom to do that other stuff. And I think by whatever steps he chooses and what direction will be the factor in where the money that's going to start coming in first is going to come from, whether it be a super fight, whether it be boxing, whether it be, okay, I want to be just an employee starting PFL Africa and let's do whatever. You know, maybe that goes and means that they get a broadcast deal from a partner in Africa to create some things and he gets a portion of that or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? I just feel like it's on him now to drive what's going to happen for his business.
It's a great way to put it. It really is a great way to say it. And I still feel like boxing should be the first primary goal, right? Because
yeah.
if you happen to lose an
a
MMA,
big boxing one.
A big boxing match, you got to
can't take a walk-in boxing match
no.
and then lose.
No, you got it's got to be one of those big ones. And flip side too is if you don't do the boxing first, if you lose in MMA, like you said, which is very possible, especially in the heavyweight division, that
yeah.
boxing goes away because now there's not the interest anymore, right?
Yeah.
You're no longer the lineal UFC champ. You're now just the dude that left the UFC and lost.
Yep.
So why do I want to see that in a boxing ring? So I think you got to do the boxing first. But I think what I've seen in this whole fallout is like everybody's in this huge rush to determine who won, who lost, who had the right move, who had the wrong move. And I think you just hit the nail on the head and said it perfectly, is that I initially thought, man, Francis Ngannou, home run. And the more people I've talked to that have said things like that, it's like, wait a minute, he has the ability to make this a home run, but
right.
he hasn't hit the home run yet, right?
Yeah.
Like, the runners are on base, you know, everybody's there, ready, but
yep.
he hasn't hit the grand slam just yet. He's got to go out and make it happen. I love what you
yep.
just said there. But I think even if it doesn't happen, he'll feel like he won because he got himself in a position where he has the ability to do that, which
right.
he never had the ability to do that
he
before.
He feels like he's shaping his career. He's
but
shaping his path.
That's
himself.
It. He's carving out the path.
Yeah.
He has that influence over his
yeah.
own direction. But you're right. I don't think we can really claim, you know, this was a home run yet until, yes, they're all set up, but they got to fall. They all got to fall. They all got to happen. And if they do,
yep.
my God, he's, you know,
yep.
if he does get a multi-million-dollar payday for boxing, which
yep.
not only is it the multi-million-dollars, but it's the fact that it's what he's always wanted to do, right?
Right.
When he was a kid, he watched
yep.
Tyson and he
fulfilling
wanted to box,
dream
right?
That he's, had.
He's fulfilling the dream, which probably yep. means more than the millions. I mean, from all accounts, he's gotten enough millions already. Who doesn't want more millions?
Yeah, right?
But it's the thing about chasing that passion that he always wanted to do. So if that happens, and then he goes in the PFL, collects a couple nice paychecks there with some big wins, you know, continues his run, and then, you know, walks away from competition and handles this PFL Africa and is able to, like, really help the continent grow the sport.
Right.
And I mean, my God, that'll be the dream scenario.
It'd be changing generations.
Exactly.
He'd be creating generational wealth for
but
families
that's
and stuff.
It. And you know, what is he – God, I mean, he wants to give back. You know what I'm saying? He's already started to give back. I mean, Francis Ngannou's already won life. I mean, you hear his story and where he came from
yeah.
and what he did. Like, he's already won. But as far as whether this move is a home run, I think it's too early to call yet. You got to see if all that stuff plays out. But if
yeah.
it does, it's insane.
Yeah, at least he's in the game. He's in the game because before he was just on the outside wanting to get into to the possibility to do really, really big things with his career. He was doing great things at the UFC. He was making money and whatever. But the potential that he has now to have a company willing to put their money and their name behind you,
mm-hmm.
it's fantastic. But, yeah, it's going to be on him to really push it. He's got incredible charisma. I think he's smart with the people that he has around him. He's got a lot of people that have believed in him. So I think he has the right team there to help him push in the directions once he makes the decision,
yeah.
okay, this is the way we want to go. But, yeah, I'm happy for him because a lot of people just – it was – the timeline was starting to become, okay, well, if nothing's happening, people are dropping off, negotiations are dropping off, oh, no, he's going to backpedal and go to the UFC. It just felt like that noise was rising and rising, and from finally being able to just say, hold on, I got something coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
You could feel like he was, like, very happy, and he was proud of that moment, and I think a lot of people were, it's hard to not be happy for him. But, yeah, it is still too early, I think, to see how big this can be.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential could be huge.
Yep.
Could be really, really huge. So,
what do you think? Have you got any feel on who? I mean, the Verdum name keeps popping up to me as the guy that's already there under contract,
yeah.
the guy that's.
But is that a super fight?
Unless you're picking somebody off the UFC roster, I hate to say that. I mean, it's not the
UFC. I mean,
because
you
got to
figure they got to make it a pay-per-view to even try to get some of the money back. And
of course.
It's like, All right, so now you want a pay-per-view, so you got to think of the whole card that you're even going to try to put underneath it. Like, is it going to be a card of super fights? Does that mean you have to have other shit? You know, like, is this going to happen once a year type thing? I mean, is this once every couple years they can finally get something together? I mean,
I'm kind of interested, too, to hear, you know, whoever wins the UFC, or the UFC, whoever wins the PFL season this year, the heavyweight tournament, the heavyweight season, they're going to – I saw an interview the other day with Maurice Greene, and he was like, you know, okay, this is a big signing for us, but only if we get the fight. Why are they going to bring somebody else in? Why don't we get, if we win the season, why don't we get to have that fight? That's going to be interesting to see. I mean, it's only going to apply to one person. Right now, it's everybody. But one person is going to emerge victorious.
Yep.
And I'm going to be real interested to see if that person, because had that fight happened this fall, well, then you got an excuse. You're like, well, we brought him in, and, you know, you guys were in the middle of the season, and we couldn't change up our season format, so we brought in another guy so we could have the fight. But if we know it's not happening until next year, whoever wins the season, they got to be a little bit angry, right? They got to say, like, hey, I know you gave me my million for winning, but I already know that the winner is getting either another million or 2 million or whatever, you know, end up getting negotiated. Why am I not getting that opportunity? Yeah. Like, I played the game that you guys have set up. Why am I not getting
it? Why is it a separate vertical?
Because
it feels like it's two separate verticals.
That's going to be interesting to see how they manage that. And, and I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to stir the pot or anything, but I'm just saying somebody's probably going to get their feelings a little bit hurt or a little bit frustrated. I'm going to be interested to see how they play that.
It's certainly a way to market it, you know, with the possibility, you know, especially if they're trying to do this whole paper, the super fights thing. Is say you work your way through the heavyweight, you get the $1 million, but you also get the bonus factor of being able to fight for the first pay-per-view super fight or whatever, and then you have that even if you lose, you're going to be getting a couple million.
Mm-hmm.
If I was at heavyweight, I'd be clamoring for it.
Right.
You know, because regardless, you're going to get double or more than what you just won going all the way through the tournament. I would think that, so maybe in the sense of the heavyweight tournament winner, whatever, season winner, whatever, make that a potential, but is that enough to where people are like, okay, that's a super fight. No. You know, it just, I think when people think super fight, they want to see the whole package. They want to see a character. They want to have somebody that has a storied name, you know, two A-sides coming, not, you know, an A-side and somebody that maybe qualifies as a decent B-side. You know, you really, you know, maybe we're setting up, maybe I'm setting my thoughts of what a super fight is too high, but you know, you almost want two stars. To me, it sounds like, you know, when you want a super fight, you have two people that are stars in their own right coming head-to-head to make something happen. And, you know, obviously, if there could be a cross-promotion with Jones getting the okay to go defend the UFC's name and the PFL, like, that would be ginormous.
That would be insane. Not going to happen, but that would be insane.
It would be absolutely nuts, you know. That would qualify as a super fight, you know. But it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of cats at the top of the UFC that you know, if they got another loss or two, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, like Derek Lewis, you know, if he doesn't have a great run and say he gets let go of the UFC, I could see that qualifying as a guy that they could bring over and say, okay, this was the guy that, you know, multiple, you know, UFC heavyweight contender that vied for the championship, didn't get it.
I bet you there's no way they let any recognizable heavyweights leave right now, no matter what happens. I bet. You know,
so they just try to keep him until he loses or something.
I guarantee. That's a guarantee is a pretty strong word.
Yeah.
But I promise you that
I can see where
there's something,
because
that's a perfect scenario. Derek Lewis is perfect, right?
Yeah.
I mean, super popular, fun fighting style, like that. To me, like if they could do that, even though the first fight sucked and all that, if they could do that fight, I think that would definitely generate interest, and Derek's going to help, you know, get some interest involved and all that. But, you know, first of all, I think the UFC likes Derek a lot because he doesn't say no.
Yeah.
They know he's going to be entertaining. He'll fight whatever. But anybody like that, like even, gosh, I mean, like, you know, Andre Arlovsky's nearing the end, right? Unfortunately, I'm losing all my guys, man. All my guys are nearing the end. Well, he might fight till 50. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm picking him in that upcoming one.
Oh, I love it.
I picked him.
I love it.
I just looked at that fight card. It's him and Dante Mays.
I love it.
That's a winnable fight.
It's a winnable fight.
It's a winnable fight.
It's a winnable fight. But names like that, like I guarantee you right now that if somebody's like out of contract.
Arlovsky, I could see that with his power, with his name power, being the former champ that he was.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
That would qualify.
But in fairness, he had a 4-fight win streak before his last loss. So I'm not trying to write him off. But I'm just thinking about name value,
that. Yeah, definitely. And he's even said it. I mean, like he doesn't want – it's not like he's ready to retire. But I mean, like – he knows he's getting long in the tooth, you know, and that 44? It's not going to be there 44? Forever, you know. Granted, with heavyweights, and especially a guy like him, he's had this lasting power, but you kind of want him to, if he's going to keep fighting, get the fucking payday, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what he's getting paid here at the UFC, but I guarantee he's not getting $2 million for a fight.
Not $2 million. He's getting paid pretty well, but not
paid,
$2 million.
But, I mean, that's if he lost. Like, maybe there'd be extra bonuses and then there if he was able to take it and win. I'm sure that's just the minimum, you know, of whatever the surprise. I'm sure that's just a minimum, too. I don't know if they have, then it's percentage points or if they're doing something like-minded or whatever. But, yeah, those are the kind of names that make sense for whatever they want to call this super fight. Because if you bring a so-so name, what's super about it? And then you're going to ruin the whole idea of what these super fights right from the get-go. They have to get it right.
Yep.
You know, you're going to get one chance to make that first impression where people are like, holy shit, now I understand why you're calling these a super fights and why you want to do a pay-per-view and why you want to do whatever. But you got to get it right. Mm-hmm. You know, if you give us a so-so, they're like, why wasn't this regular PFL season?
Right.
You know, because then you're like, that was okay. So it's a tough tall order. But
there's still a lot of work left for the PFL.
A lot of work to do. But, man, they open up the door. They did it. I mean, credit to them. I mean, a lot of people are – I mean, PFL is trying things. They're doing mm-hmm. things, you know. And
I like the PFL.
So a lot of people just like to shit on the organization, you know, say like it's how it's run. You know, they're questionable in how they're spending their money or whatever. If they have the money and they're getting people to invest into them and they're doing stuff – fuck, give them a chance.
You have to.
You know?
If you're not the UFC, you have to spend extra money to get people to come to your organization. That's just the reality of the situation. Yep. You have to pay more money. You have to pay a premium.
And if you're getting somebody to invest, like whatever that thing Dan was referencing, $280 million or whatever, if you're getting somebody that's willing to spend that kind of money, they obviously believe in your product. Or they're trying to launder a large amount of money through your company. I love it when we throw that out and everybody kind of remember that time you said something about that. But no, I mean, it's fantastic. But yeah, nobody gives a company $280 million without them believing that they're trying some new stuff and that they're doing something right. And PFL is doing it, man. The fact that now people are having talks like, is PFL going to buy Bellator? It's like, holy shit, what has happened? If that's even a possibility, it's just like, The world is done turned
upside
down.
Well, that's it, right? Because I don't think that's going to happen. Like, again, and it could. You never know. I had heard that Bellator was trying to bring in some investment, but a partial investment. Like, sell off a piece of it, bring in a strategic partner, not sell off the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, again, you never know. If somebody says, hey, I'll give you that much for 10%, you know, they'll be like, oh, I'll give you that for 100%. How about that? Yeah. I want the whole thing. So you never know. You never know. But I don't think that's going to happen. But what you just said is exactly right. That's why you go get a Francis Ngannou. Because if, you know, 6 months ago, you'd have said, hey, man, I heard PFL is going to buy Bellator. People would just be like, bro, what are you talking about? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Now you say, I heard PFL is buying Bellator. And you go, really?
Yep.
Man, that could be something. You know what I mean? You give it reality because they changed their position in the marketplace with this move.
And it's funny when you think about the UFC. When did their value really start growing up? When did they start blowing up? It was when they started getting TV deals.
Right, of course.
So you bring the right people in, you go to markets that are really untapped, you're going to bring in this huge African star, and then you're going to start bringing the other stars from other nations in, the TV deals are going to start coming. That money, like when we look at the $280 million, we're like, wow, that's a crazy amount of money. Think about what the Fox deal was, you know, and then you start thinking about what the ESPN deal is. It's unreal.
Bro,
the potential
and this
is
what
crazy.
I love. This is what I love about what they're doing as far as creating these international leagues. Like, it's prime time in those markets. So you're exactly right. So now, if you take – now, you may say, if I'm ESPN, why do I want to pay for that? No, you're right, because your ESPN is large in the United States, but it's not large everywhere, right? But if you're Amazon, if you're Apple, if you're Netflix, you know what I mean? And you're like, hold on, wait a minute. So if I give money for your product, you're saying that not only do I get primetime United States sporting events, but I get primetime Asia, primetime Middle East, primetime Africa, localized, regionalized, with recognizable names. I mean, look at what they've done with Dan Hardy in Europe, now Francis Ngannou in Africa. This serves my customers all over the world for the price that you're giving me in primetime. I like what you're doing there. Let's do it. So, look, man, they're spending money. They're being a little bit reckless, but they're doing it with a vision. And I think that if they actually pull it all off, and so far they've delivered on everything they promised. I mean, when they first started talking about all this stuff, I'm like, dude, do you know what it's going to take to pull all that off? But they're pulling it off. They're getting it done. So don't count them out, man. Don't count them out.
Yeah.
What do you think? So it's funny because, like I said, I don't think the UFC is going to let any heavyweights go right now because I don't think they're going to allow any recognizable names potentially to be an opponent. I kind of got that same feeling too. What did you think when you heard Dana talking about Tyson Fury and John Jones? And he's like, that to me feels like more of a let me steal some headlines away, and B, let me take one more. Tyson Fury. Granted, Tyson Fury is a tough son of a bitch that I believe thinks that he could. I just don't see him doing. I don't see him stepping into an octagon. No. Maybe I'm crazy.
It's ridiculous. He's not. And he said as much. He's right. Like, you know, I am a prize fighter in a boxing ring. I'm not a cage fighter, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. And if it did, it certainly wouldn't be against the likes of a Francis Ngannou.
No.
I mean, or John Jones or anybody along those lines. I mean, I could see him saying, hey, overweight media guy, that cold coffee guy, yeah, I'll fight him in a cage. I could see that happening. But as for, like, a legit fighter, especially, like, a legit heavyweight or something, no, it's not going to happen. And it's vice versa. Like, the MMA guy knows that he's not going to be able to box him in a boxing ring, and it goes vice versa. You know, it's just all silly. But, I mean,
I felt like Dana was just having fun. Let me steal the headlines away. Yeah, let's take a little bit of this energy back over here.
I mean, and it was almost just like, you know, let's just be clear. I mean, if you want to talk the talk, we'll make it happen. We'll go straight fight circus style. We'll make it happen with midgets. I mean, I think he was just humoring it and having a good time. But no, I don't. I think he has, you know, if you ask Dana, he could say one thing and then, like, the next day be like, oh, I was just literally just having some fun,
right?
But it just gets picked up and then the whole world talks about it or whatever. No, I have no beliefs at all that Dana would ever really humor any sort of thing, because he understands the kind of money that would have to be and that it just would never happen. I think he's smart enough to know, like, okay, this will never go anywhere further besides social media posts and talking or whatever.
And you know what's funny? So the conversation I was having the other day with this gentleman, you know, he was like, well, couldn't John maybe go do a one-off like Conor did with Floyd? And I'm like, well, he could, but not contractually. Like, he'd have to negotiate that with. But yeah. You got
to
think.
You'd have to have the UFC's blessing.
You'd have to have the UFC's blessing. And when you think about it, man, I mean, I don't know that Dana – will ever admit this, but I mean, they made a lot of money off that deal and they made a cultural phenomenon type thing happen. But like, how many fights did we lose from Conor McGregor competing in the UFC by him doing that boxing match? Like, not only the build up to it, the time after it, like, I wonder, like, if Dana, if you got him alone and you're like, hey, I'm not reporting this, but I just want to hear your thoughts, like, I wonder if he'd be like, I kind of regret doing that. Like, I wish we'd never done that because we lost a lot of time with Conor McGregor.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely was – I mean, in a way, I think he probably realized what it was going to be doing for – as a byproduct, MMA in general, and what it did for Conor Starr, because Conor was still the biggest star in MMA. And, look, Dana actually went out on that darn promotional tour, like, giving intros, and he was crazy yelling. I mean, so he was fully invested in it, but I think he realized that, you know, it was like that, you know, good press, bad press, you know, like, just go be out there and just push it forward, you know. Whether they were losing fights, which is definitely true, but they literally took his star power and just
took it to another
took
level.
Took it to a whole nother level.
Yep.
They just, I mean, it was just unbelievable because, I mean, he was a big star before to make that happen. But after that fact, I mean, like, everybody knew who he was. I mean, people that knew who Floyd were that maybe had no idea of really what was going on in the MMA space. Now we're asking, who's this Irish guy? Who's this guy that's over here? And then it just catapulted. So I think that when they weighed the benefits of it, the dollar value out of that promotion, what it did for the UFC, probably just dwarfed the fact of, hey, let's get one fight with, like, Conor and somebody else or whatever. Because then they'd be spending money to do all this other kind of crap with all the promotion or whatever. So this was money where they were promoting their sport without having to actually really go too crazy into it. But it'd be interesting. I mean, but I don't think Dan would ever say that he regrets it, because it was such a weirdly, like, cultural moment sport at the time.
It was.
You were still with Junkie at the time, but USA Today was doing backflips over the whole thing. So they were sending extra people out to shoot stuff for that.
Right.
Like, and that has never happened before in our sport. They've never sent another team to cover that phenomena. on the other events, you know, like
even the on sale tour, like they had no problem with, you know, we were like, hey, well, let's have Kenny go to all of them. Who's Kenny? Who's that guy? Let's send him out to everyone, and they were like, absolutely, yep. Let's go to every single one. I mean, that's crazy.
And they wanted access to all the footage. They wanted to share stuff. They wanted they ate it up. So I mean, it was just
They bought into that more than anything else we've ever done.
It's just unreal. It was just unreal. But that just shows what that was doing. And can't say it was a bad decision now, because just for the fact of, like, literally you had organizations that have their hands in so many other things, for them to stop and sharply focus on this one moment, it's huge. It's huge, especially when you think of, like, you know, normally they consider us this small little niche market over here. They were like, they don't really pay attention. They just let us do our thing. Mm-hmm. But for them to be like, hey, we need to pay attention to these guys over here.
We're going to help you support it. We want you to send us stuff. Yeah. It's crazy.
It was huge.
You going to watch The Ultimate Fighter?
I'll try if I remember. It's not like I just when I get home, like if I'm done with like the MMA day, like
it's over.
I watch other shit.
So funny.
You know, my Netflix thinks I only watch like Korean like rom-coms and other shit, like
so
my
weird.
And anime. Like my Netflix thinks I'm ridiculous.
But
did
they got
you
me watch
down.
At least one Korean rom-com for them to think that you
yes.
like Korean rom-coms?
Yes, I did. And a couple of them. The legendary Woo, that she's an autistic lawyer who is totally badass, and she's really cute. That one was fun. And then there was another one I watched. Shit, I can't think of the name.
How did you find these?
Netflix told me about them.
And it's just subtitles
it just
or whatever?
Up. Yeah, or they dub it.
Or they dub it?
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, like, yeah, you would think that.
Bro, it's not the pandemic anymore. There's stuff to do. Like. You can go out. You don't have
well,
to.
Well, I mean, what that's like, I mean, you know, you got to afford to go out, you know. Times is tough. Keeping this huge household.
Well, I understand.
Running,
the,
you know,
the estate
the staff,
here, there's
you
a
know?
Lot of, you got a lot of people relying on you. You got to keep
tough.
The.
So I got a penny pinch. I stay home and I watch
tight.
My Netflix, which is provided by my T-Mobile account. Even though now they do charge me a couple bucks a month.
They do.
Man, that used to be like the sweetest deal.
It used to be
deal.
Free. Now it's just.
And now they're like. That's a small little upcharge
they
help or whatever.
Pay for it. Well, you know what? I actually
do
need some.
Do you do the Apple TV?
I do.
Because now that's with that's provided with, depending on what your account is, for T-Mobile as
well. I
will
say, man, look, T-Mobile, you know, they're not paying us. I'm not here, but the benefits that they give you, like the T-Mobile Tuesday stuff, whatever, a whole season of MLS soccer was free.
Yep.
Like
They do the MLB channel or whatever sometimes too for like a full year.
They give you some stuff, man.
And it's funny because I'd never seen others do that, but now I see other ones like Verizon, I think, now starts to give like a free one. But like, yeah, T-Mobile is like one of those ones that I've been with them since like 2006.
Yeah, about the same.
You know, so when I call them up now, they're like, oh, Mr. Hathaway, blah, 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 whoever that guy is. like, sir, I don't recognize your name. I'm like, it's me, Cole Covey. And they're like,
got it.
What can I do for you, sir? But yeah, when I it's funny. I swear, when I was younger, I remember I switched between like Sprint and other ones, and then when I got on the T-Mobile, and then they had that international that data, like remote data, where you just start using. Then I was like, it was just game changer. And then I was like, why would I go anywhere else or whatever? And then when you start throwing in like the TV plans, but long story short, and yes, this is not a T-Mobile ad, but should you ever sign up, # MMA Roadshow gift code. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's why I get my Netflix. So that's why I've been watching Netflix. So yeah, but yeah, if somebody ever like stayed at my house and like randomly went through my Netflix, they'd be like, who lives here? Like, it's either anime or like.
Who is sharing your login information? Because
somebody in South Korea. Somebody in Korea has access to your account, sir.
Did you leave your Netflix logged in when we went to Seoul for that UFC event back in the day?
But I will tell you what, though, when it comes to a lot of stuff, if you don't watch it, like a lot of the sci-fi and like gore and some of the like other stuff, Korea, man, they've been really bringing it. So I don't know, maybe I just. Watch some of that stuff, and then Netflix like, well, here, try this. And
you're on the cutting edge of
entertainment. I'm telling you.
Well, I need some recommendations. I'm gonna need some. Like, I got three shows that I don't watch a lot. Like I do. I'll be honest with you. Like when I watch MMA all day, every day, man. I watch regional events. I watch like the podcasts that they have on UFC Fight Pass. I watch everything. That's pretty much most of what I watch. But I do watch a little bit of television. But I got three shows that I really like, and they're all coming to an end. Like. Next week, I got Ted Lasso, which if anybody isn't on the Ted Lasso bandwagon, I highly recommend it. It is coming to an end, but it's a good series. I mean, it's not a long – I think it's only been like three seasons, so it's not like you got like – you know, months worth of watching if you want to watch. I don't know if you'd be able to watch it before the finale, but, you know, it's still there. I love Barry. Barry is a phenomenal show. That's coming to an end as well.
Yep.
And me and the wife, one that, and I watch those two on my own. Me and the wife, one that we watch together is Succession, and that's coming to an end as well. Those are probably like the three shows I watch in total on TV. That's like literally the only like drama type programs that I watch, and all three of them are coming to an end like next week. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Maybe I'll just swear off TV at that point.
I forgot, before I forget, you know, speaking because of my love of like Korean like sci-fi stuff, you know Brian Ree, he's like MMA,
he's
like manager or whatever, like he does all the Korean
thinking, like,
stuff. He's actually has a small bit in the movie called The Host, which is like this Korean like sci-fi thing with this monster gets morphed out or whatever. I forgot all about that, and then because I loved that movie. And then randomly, like a year or so ago, he posted this thing in his reminder of him, and it showed a picture of this like guy that's in the movie, and I was like, wait a second, that looks like him. And I went back and looked at the credits. Sure enough, that was him. He acted in the movie and stuff. But I was like, dude, I love that movie.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so that,
I haven't seen Brian in a while,
like,
but yeah,
come back together, the weird mixing of MMA and my love
and
for
that's
Korean
what led,
shit.
That's what led you down? Yeah. It was Brian – you're running on Brian Ree now is what you're trying to do.
No, but what's funny is, like, it just – like, I think he was surprised that anybody saw the movie. I was like, bro, I love that genre of shit. Like, you give me some Korean sci-fi horror or
He's
whatever.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Why did you watch this? Like, how?
But it's actually pretty good.
How did you come across this?
But yeah, he's towards the end of it. When the like shit's happened. But the movie's a fun movie.
Does he have a line or anything, or is he just got like an action there? No, he's got a line.
But yeah, he's got like a couple lines. It's a small scene, but like you definitely know it's him if you watch it.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
I will not watch it, but I'll
maybe it's actually
maybe,
worthwhile.
Maybe I'll try to fast forward.
It's not
and
a
find
bad movie.
Scene.
It's not a bad movie.
Maybe give me like a link and an actual time code, and I'll just go and I'll watch his scene. I don't know if I'm gonna know if I expose myself to an entire Korean sci-fi movie.
Oh, it's cool though.
All right, so if anybody's got recommendations of something to watch, I would appreciate it because the other stuff my wife watches just she does not interest me whatsoever.
Did you ever do the what's it Yellowstone?
I haven't watched.
I started watching that. I start getting distracted by all my Korean stuff. But that one's good. Abby's real high on that one. Abby likes that one. He was talking about that one
about
a bunch.
Yellowstone. All right, maybe I'll have to get that one to go.
I feel like there's a couple other ones, but yeah, Yellowstone was definitely one of the ones. I'll have to think of some of the other ones I recently watched. But
and then I'll just shout out for anybody that hasn't watched it. Ted Lasso, Barry, Succession. Definitely.
Yeah, I need to get on the Ted Lasso. Because it's part of the Apple Plus, whatever, and I've looked at it, and I just haven't pulled the trigger
so
on
good.
It.
So good. Did you ever watch the Conor McGregor documentary?
No.
Still not, huh?
Not yet.
You really just don't watch MMA once it's over?
I don't. The Sunday, it's funny because I went walking, worked out a little bit, I read the paper, and I literally was told myself, well, today's the day I can do it, and then I just never got around to doing it. But
I watch Real Sports every month, right? It comes out on Tuesday, so it came out last night. I watched it last night. I had to download a new app. HBO Max is that. It's just Max now?
Yep, Max.
What the hell are they doing? And not only is it a name change, which makes no damn sense. Like, Max, where's the HBO part? That's the brand recognition part that I recognize is HBO. Where is that? And no, yeah, you got
to
download. I mean,
it
takes 2 seconds. Like, you just got to download the app, and then it basically like auto logs you in because it takes your
other. Then you got to uninstall the other one.
What are they doing? What are they doing? I just don't get the strategy whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the detail was behind that. Was it a merge or something? Or they just.
I don't know. No, right, dude. When I think of Max, I think of Cinemax back in the day.
Skinemax,
exactly. Right, that was a part of our youth.
Yeah,
late nights.
All the softcore
porn on there. I think of Cinemax. I don't know what they're doing. What else? I'm gonna give a shout out to Savannah Bananas. Had a good time.
I meant to ask you how that was.
Had a really fun time, man. I will say this. It's a cool thing and also a chaotic thing. They just do, like, general admission. So, like, there's no assigned seats. So, like, people kind of line up and it gets kind of crowded and kind of chaotic as people go find their seats. But it means that we got, like, really nice seats and worked out pretty good.
Yeah.
Since I couldn't buy the VIP tickets because they sold out so fast. But it was a lot of fun. And it was my wife and kid who know literally – I don't think I've ever watched a full inning of baseball in their life. They sat there and enjoyed all of it and were like – My kid was even like, man, if baseball was like this, like I would actually watch baseball. Of course, it wouldn't
it's
be. Cause
it's very different.
Very different. Very different.
So I was reading this thing. Guesstimating, whatever. But it was talking about since now with the Max has a bunch more TV shows and all the other stuff that's into it. This particular person said, dropping HBO from the name is also meant to protect the HBO brand from potential dilution by being associated with not-so-prestige TLC reality shows like Dr. Pimple Popper, My 600-Pound Life, all this other one. Like, they want to keep the HBO brand as being, like, the movies, the big high-end stuff.
Okay.
And then now, if you're going to have all these other shows that we'd find on, like, TLC Network and all these other ones, which maybe are sort of coming underneath this Warner Brothers thing, that they don't want to dilute
okay.
it or something.
Hey, there's actually some logic in that. Yeah. I can actually see that, right?
Yeah, because you don't want to ruin the brand.
So you'll have HBO as a brand inside of Max, and you're like, hey, you know, if it's HBO, it's top-level premium content.
Game of Thrones, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And then you're going to have all the other stuff.
Okay, there's actually logic in that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any of that Dr. Pimple Popper?
No.
It's so gross, but it's absolutely ridiculous.
Like making something up
it's
there.
It's like this – if it's the one I'm thinking about, it's just this chick that does – that and other like stuff. I'm not sure what the actual title of her job is. It's not Pimple Popper, but she pimps popples. But like
she be pimping
her
like popples,
do cysts and like other stuff when people have different things affecting.
That has to be the most disgusting show ever.
It's ridiculous, but it's like you can't stop watching it. I'm like, oh my god! You're like, is there any more in there? Just squeeze it all out.
Gross.
It's so gross. It's so gross. But like literally, the show makes mad money. Like. Tons of people watch it.
So it's probably got like crazy social following weird clips.
Not as good as like Power Slap, obviously, since that's like the biggest social media ever. You know, like dwarfs NFL and everybody and all that stuff together. Times 10, according to Dana. But yeah.
Did those numbers ever come out? Didn't he say he was going to give them to MMA Mania? Did they ever publish them?
I don't think so.
I'm sure
they probably forgot to even ask him or he paid them off with $100 bills and they just they stopped asking about it. Because that's what that $100 is. He was clearly trying to buy somebody's content.
That was a weird situation, right?
Yeah, you were there, right?
When he gave Amy Cabot, because you guys normally y'all's assigned seats and normally like right by each other,
side by side. Because I was waiting to do my Dana questions after hers,
you know?
Or in fact, that was from my question. I was the one asking him about that fight, and then he was like, because it was about the Aljo, whatever about, and he was like, that's when he brought up the, you know, who do you think called? Who do you think called? I'll give $100 to anybody here in the room. They could tell me who it was. And she was like, Henry. And he's like, phew. So he stands up and give it. And at the time, we were just laughing. In fact, I think I even said, well, he's a man of his word, you know.
Right.
And then he sits back down, and then we just went on about it, you know. And then it just blew up. And everyone's like, oh, how dare she? How dare whatever? You know, I get it. I get why people are fired up. You know, you're not supposed to take gifts and other stuff. But when I saw that at the moment, I didn't see it as a gift. I saw it as like there was a moment of trivia in this fun sort of absurd thing, and she was rewarded for the answer to this thing.
Right.
Now, with that, not every person has access to that room. You know, as media, we're provided media access, tickets to be in that room. So we're able to be in that room where most people can't. So not everybody had the potential to play this trivia game.
Yep.
But does anybody actually thought Dana was actually trying to buy her contribution in some particular way?
No.
By doing that? No. It'd be silly and ridiculous for anybody to say that. But I get why people are upset and fired up because they see it as, oh, it's obviously a conflict of interest, you know, blah, 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 blah. I get that. But on the other side, I also see a woman that struggles to take care of her son, and she sees a quick way, you know, out of harmless, you know, was able to get $100. Could she have said, I appreciate the thought, you know, and been done with it? Going forward, I think that's the way because we saw what the backlash. If you're put in that situation, even if you're not sure whether it is a gift or whether it's a trivia, whether it's an earned prize.
It's the potential for how it looks. Like, I can guarantee you, If that had been you, if you'd have said Henry Cejudo and he'd have walked up and handed you $100 and Gannett or USA Today saw that, they would, with haste, ensure that you gave back that $100 immediately.
100%.
And again, not because it was intended as any sort of, as you said, I'm going to curry a favor because I'm giving you this $100.
Right.
Or from now on, I expect only positive coverage out of you because I'm giving you this $100. That's not what it's intended as.
Yeah.
However, journalistic integrity does state that you cannot allow there to be any potential view of impropriety right. going on there. And so right. I guarantee you Gannett would say you need to give that money back right. immediately.
I mean, I
but you bring in the personal things. And I thought about the same thing as well. And that shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't.
The profession is the profession. But yeah. when you add the reality of what's actually going on, like I thought about the same thing. Like we see, like, what she yeah. goes through as a single mom, right?
Yeah, as a single mom, I see the time that her outlet does not pay her for things. I mean, her boss literally, she responded to her boss, let her boss know, and the boss was like, that's awesome.
So if they don't
you know,
care.
If your boss doesn't care, why should anybody else care? Yep. And, you know, obviously they realize that they're probably not taking care of her like they should for what she does for them. But ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, I saw, you know, a woman that's able to now buy something for her kid or buy something, whatever. Am I going to lose sleep because she took $100 from this thing? No, I'm not, you know, but I get why somebody needs to make a statement about there because it should be reminders. There should be reminders. In fact, I just did a code of conduct for Gannett where we have to talk about these sort of things.
Right.
You have to pass all these things. You know, we do have to do it every year.
I can't remember their policy. It was like you shouldn't accept anything over like $20 or with yeah. value over like $20.
Yeah, there's like limits. Like say if you're talking, you know, there's a business client and somebody's like, it's not unheard of for like say in the process of doing business that they want to buy a dinner as you're discussing business negotiation, but it can't be some eccentric, crazy, over the top thing. If it's just a moderate dinner or whatever, that's like normal, like a normal course of business. It's not frowned upon.
Right.
But you just got to stay above board, you know, and the other kind of thing. So in this situation, I could see why, you know, both sides. Is there potential that people could see that this was maybe a problem? Yes, and if there's a potential problem like that, the best thing is to not accept it and do whatever. But on the other, at the end of the day, you know, a single mother wanting to have the potential to buy food, what the fuck do I care?
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly. And I have a story that I don't know if I told. I think I told you, or I know I told some others, and fuck it, I'll out him here because he's so ridiculous. Well, maybe I won't fully out him. But there's another media member that was there present who loves to gamble, and he's a crazy gambling degenerate. I won't say his name, but he's so effing ridiculous. But he had a wad of money because he was going to go gambling later on that night. He wanted that $100 to give luck to his other dollar. So what did he do? I'll give you $200 for that $100.
What?
And bought that $100 bill. And she ended up getting $200.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, now I guess everybody knows. So maybe they'll give her more grief because she made $200 that night. So another media member bought that $100, because he wanted it rubbing up against his other money so he can get luck because he knows Dana's a gambler. So he wanted to go the thing and gamble.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That might be the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
It's ridiculous. When I was telling the people on our staff, they're like, oh, man, this $100. Like I said, I got something that's even crazier than that. Who would pay you $200 for something worth $100? Just for the sheer whatever. But I mean, if
for
you're
the sheer luck that comes that, associated with the money.
But I get it, too. I mean, if that's all gambling winnings, it's all fake money anyways.
True.
It's not like it's earned or whatever. Or I mean, it is. I'm not trying to say gambling or like there isn't skill involved.
There is,
but it was money he was already willing to lose. It was all bent. It was all plus for him at that point. So for him, in his mind, having the thought of like, yeah, I got Dana's $100 in my wallet. Let's go to the tables or whatever.
That's crazy.
Amy would go to the supermarket to get food. This dude took it to the fucking casino, or who knows? Maybe he framed it.
That's
crazy.
But
he paid for it.
That's hilarious. Do you know talk about luck? Did you see – I know you're not on Twitter a lot. I was tweeting – I had a couple cocktails last night as well. But Derek
– did you have a little tequila?
I didn't have any tequila.
Were there any nipples being lit?
There were no nipples. And my night was not nearly as exciting as yours. I just had dinner with my family and then came home and played video games.
Copper Cake West, by the way, should you guys come. Should you visit Vegas? Want to meet up with me at the Copper Cake West?
I'm telling you.
Let's do it.
Where's that bar where they light nipples on fire? I want to go to that one. yeah, just
that might be multiple bars in town. You
just Google nipples on fire Las Vegas and see what you come up with.
I'm gonna do it right now.
But no, Derek Brunson last night was posting that he posted a parlay that he had. It was like a $15 parlay that ended up winning like $30,000 on because
holy
it was like
cow.
Yeah, it was like a 13 team parlay or something like that. But he posted it, and I was scrolling through it, and like 8 of the 13 legs or whatever were like tennis matches, and I'm like, Derek, did you just like guess on these? And he was like, he hit me back. He's like, nah, man, I've been watching tennis forever. He's like, I bet tennis all the time, man. I know the sport. I'm like,
wow.
So I promised the next media day when he comes in, we don't talk about MMA. We just talk about tennis. Yeah, get his hot takes on tennis.
Hey, man, obviously he knows what he's talking about. One of the images that pops up for Nipples on Fire Bar Las Vegas, that was my search, is a picture of the hogs and heifers. I could quite see that. I can see that at Hogs
and
Heifers.
So nipples have definitely been set on fire inside Hogs and Heifers.
Yeah, Hogs and Heifers is down by Fremont Experience, should you guys come to town. And it's also near a wonderful pizza place called Pizza Rock. Mm. Yeah, Hogs and Heifers, cash only, but be prepared for some craziness if you go in there. But keep your phones away. They frown upon phones.
That's right.
Because they want people to go in there and let loose. They want the women that have to go back to their respectable jobs to lose that inhibition and get on the stage or get on the bar and dance and other shit. And they should. It's fun. It's a rowdy, rowdy place. But they also have PBR pounders there.
I think if there's a lesson to be learned, it's that the USC should not have another off week anytime soon.
I don't mind the
USC structure in our life, not only to keep our behavior in check, but also to keep our conversation in check because we need MMA to talk about.
Yeah, but nipples on fire is fun.
Can't argue with you there. All right, listen, like I said, no USC this weekend, but Fury Professional Grappling 7 on Saturday night on USC Fight Pass. I will be out in Philadelphia for that, myself and CM Punk, so make sure you check us out there. Appreciate everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. With those $3 a month, you can help support us there and get exclusive access to the and a half episodes, which there will not be one this week because it is a rare USC off week. I don't think there's another one for months and months. So yeah. Enjoy the weekend. Make sure you check out Fury Professional Grappling. And like I said, enjoy the time with your family. Memorial Day weekend, obviously very important holiday in America. So make sure you honor those. And we'll get back on the grind next week and we'll start the crazy run. In the meantime, thanks for listening.